Chris Brennan was applying for a teaching job at Central Valley High School, but he was a fraud. His resume was fake, and his identity completely phony. So far, he'd fooled the personnel director, the assistant principal, and the chairperson of the social studies department. This morning was his final interview with the principal, Dr. Wendy McElroy. It was make or break. He was perfect on paper. He scoped out the school and observed the male teachers, so he knew what to wear for the interview, a white Oxford shirt, no tie, khaki dockers, and bass loafers bought from the outlets in town. His hair was sandy brown, and he'd just gotten it cut at the local Supercuts. Everyone liked a clean-cut guy, and they tended to forget that appearances were deceiving. Well, that's from the opening of One Perfect Lie by Lisa Scottoline. As the cover tells us, the most perfect lie is the one you tell yourself. Our story opens with a stunning revelation. Our lead character admits to having killed a man. The reader's revulsion towards this character is immediate and real, lasting for several chapters until we learn that our protagonist, the man we just heard described, is actually one of the good guys. Brief plot summary: the aforementioned hero of our story, Chris Brennan, assumes the role of a high school teacher assistant baseball coach in a small rural Pennsylvania town in his latest assignment for the ATF, the Federal Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms Department. He's seeking the likely culprits in an expected domestic terrorist bomb plot expected to happen on the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing. Gaining the confidence first of the high school baseball team members and then inevitably of his fellow teachers, Chris is sure he is on the cusp of helping to foil a major terrorist plot. But which of the baseball team members is the likely student athlete, hoarder of the essential chemical fertilizer needed to make the terrorist bomb? Is it the town's rich kid, who is a talented baseball player as well as a high school heartthrob? Or is it the quiet boy of a single mother whose ticket to college is winning a baseball scholarship? Could it be the rowdy, talented pitcher whose father just passed and whose family life has suddenly plunged into chaos? Or is it one of the other seemingly fun-loving but law-abiding teens on the team? And where is the terrorist plot likely to happen? What of the teaching staff? Could one of the most popular teachers be leading a double life that involves plotting against the U.S. government? Chris gets to know and befriend the self-styled Outliers group of high school teachers, a motley crew of four, and our plot only thickens considerably when the popular language arts teacher, a member of that Outliers teaching group, is found hanging from the rafter in his writing cabin. His husband insists the teacher was not a likely suicide, and Chris is more than a little curious to know, if not a suicide, then why was the popular teacher murdered? As Chris peels back the layers of personal grievances and uncovers the hopes and joys that motivate these key characters, our plot bubbles along with a dash of romance. Chris is smitten by one of his baseball team's single moms, and the enchantment is slowly but surely reciprocated. There's a lot of hard-nosed determination on Chris's part to deliberately keep his distance from the players and teachers in town, and a growing sense of urgency as he deepens his communication with his hard-nosed, by-the-book boss and equally even-tempered mentor, who urges Chris to follow his gut as the anniversary date looms ever closer. The story reaches its climax with as dramatic an ending as you'd like in an action-adventure novel. One Perfect Lie is a novel that hews surprisingly close to what we know as real life. The characters find themselves in understandable quandaries, predicaments in their family life and their work life. And while, yes, the characters do run to the stock side of character development, there are exceptions, too. Chris Brennan is a hero with a heart and with an independent streak. He's up to pushing his boss's conventional boundaries when it suits Chris's understanding of the situation. And Chris is not a character who backs down from his challenges easily. And, of course, this being a contemporary novel, Chris has proven correct in his challenges to those conventional ways of thinking, almost without exception. The moms of the story begin as stereotypes in their social class and recent history. We encounter the rich suburban mom who drowns her sorrows in boredom and drink, the working class single mom who is beset by bills and a snooty boss, but has the daily drive to make a better life for her son and herself. and the recently widowed middle-class mom who worries more than she ought to need to about her two sons, whose response to their father's recent death are as opposite and as hard for her to read as real life will have it sometimes. The boys themselves are teenagers that we probably know in our daily lives. They're committed to their sport, they're committed to their friends, and to their school. None of them seem likely characters to be engaged in a bomb plot, especially one against the United States government. And so it is that Lisa Scottolin is not an author content to let her plot enthrall all of our attention. No, she takes these sometimes expected fictional characters and spins them up into more complex and shaded people who become more living and breathing characters we want to live with as the pages turn and turn and turn yet again. Lisa Scottolin is a New York Times bestselling author of both series and standalone fiction tales. This happens to be one of her standalone tales. Her background in the law is clearly evident in her stories, and her interest in story and plotting makes One Perfect Lie a read I am glad to recommend. Let's finish with an excerpt from the middle of our novel. Chris is just leaving from the home of the murdered teacher, or was it suicide? And he's thinking about his case. He's thinking about his kids that he's coaching, and he's thinking about what is going to happen next. Chris drove away from Abe and Jamie's house, feeling a pang. He hadn't known Abe that long, but the teacher had made an impact on him, maybe in the way of all teachers. Chris had always loved school because it was his only constant. It was always him and a teacher, even as the schools changed, because he never had many friends. He'd earned good grades, eager to please those who had provided him with even temporary sanctuary. And he realized now that Abe had become for him every teacher who'd helped him, sheltered him from the hell of his home life, and encouraged him to go to college and find a career that actually helped people in return. Chris knew in his bones that Abe had been murdered, but he didn't know who had done it or why. He sensed it was connected to the baseball team, but he couldn't tie the two together. There was a piece of the puzzle missing. And he had faith that he would find it, just not in time. Gravel popped under his tires as he accelerated onto the country road. He had been in this situation before, but he'd been part of a larger operation and had access to the full array of ATF resources. Other special agents would be deployed, police records and other official records subpoenaed, CIs or confidential informants questioned, and there would have been electronic surveillance for months, plus visual and cyber surveillance. The general public had no idea how much personnel, resources, techniques, and electronic fact-gathering was demanded by a major ATF operation. But that was an Operation Varsity Letter, manned by one undercover agent, Chris Brennan. Yet as Chris drove, he felt more motivated and determined than ever. In other operations, he had been instrumental, but he'd been a cog in the wheel, working with his boss and other agents. This time, he was completely on his own, with only his wits and experience to guide him. It struck him that he felt like a cowboy from Wyoming, of all places. Chris whizzed by farmhouses, cornfields, and horses grazing in pastures, seeing all around him that which he wanted to protect. Innocent people, this beautiful countryside, his homeland. The buildings of Central Valley rose in the distance, and he couldn't wait to get home to study his audios, lay out the information he knew, review the photographs he had taken, and all the mental notes he had made. To try to make sense of things, to find the missing piece, solve the puzzle, and connect the dots. Suddenly, the text alert sounded on his phone, and he looked over. The text was from the rabbi, and it read, "Something is going down. Meet us in 15 minutes. Same place." Chris felt a surge of new energy. Information must be coming in, and the "us" referred to his boss, and it must be big. If his boss and the rabbi had the missing piece, they could bust the conspirators. Nobody had to die. Nobody else had to get hurt. Central Valley could go on living its quiet life. Jordan would be safe, and so would Heather. Chris turned the car around and raced toward the abandoned development. One perfect lie, the most perfect lie, we're told, is the one you tell yourself. The latest standalone novel from Lisa Scottolin. It's quite a read. Hope you get a chance to read it. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.